Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. It is Saturday, July 7th, 2012, and I hope you all are keeping cool because it is hot, hot, hot. This whole country is hot. What's the temp there where you are, Jazz?
Oh, well, it's not as bad as probably elsewhere. I think it's about 80.
Oh, okay. Well, we are expecting a high of 106 here in Las Vegas, so I am definitely staying indoors. Let me welcome to the chat room Miss Consuelo and Joe from Germany. Welcome. If you would like to join us in the chat room, go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and either click on Jazz Miller's name or the Talking Smooth Jazz radio page, and that would bring you right into the chat room. The phone number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. Guitarist Jazz Miller joins us with a brand new CD called The Groove. Welcome to the show, Jazz.
Hi, how are you? And actually, I should say, Terry, it's One Groove. It's a one groove.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
One,
that's all right.
My apologies. One Groove.
There are actually many grooves on there, but that's another discussion.
Ah, and listen, this your CD cover is very interesting. Tell me about that.
Well, thank you for asking. Actually, some years ago, I painted that, and I'm not really a painter. But a good friend of mine got me interested in sponge painting. So I just had this goofy idea one day. I had a day to waste, more or less. So I printed out the Lucky Charms, you know, being a heart and a clover and a moon and a star.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, one of those babies that ate a lot of Lucky Charms back in the day. And of course, I wanted to, you know, have as much luck as I possibly could. So that was the impetus. Printed a bunch of those icons. I think it was like at 500 point, and then used that as a template to cut out these sponges and then just dipped it in color and sponge painted an old record that I had, which was another idea that I got from a drummer that I used to play with, a guy by the name of Jeffrey Winkler, who's here in San Diego, great funk drummer, et cetera, et cetera. In any event, he would paint his old broken drum heads, and that's where I got the idea to paint a record. I just thought it would be interesting to see what happened. So that's where it came from, and I just scanned it into memory and then speared it with Photoshop and turned it into a CD cover. Hope everybody likes it.
Wow, it's very, very interesting. Yeah, very interesting. So One Groove, this new CD, when are you expecting to release this?
You know, it's a function of when everything gets done, but my target date, I've got two potential target dates, first one being the 7th of August, which is in a mere month. That's kind of quick.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't happen, then I think we're going to shoot for September 21st, which happens to be my birthday, so why not? So that's 6 weeks later. I've got, you know, everything is done, really, but I've still got some polishing to do. So we shall see. And I think what's going to make the difference is whether or not it's a full-length CD or whether or not it's a shorter-length EP, as it were.
Oh.
Terminology, but yes.
Okay, so you're thinking about doing an EP. Okay.
Thinking about it. You know, if I don't have a full CD done, we'll do that.
Okay.
Want to have something on the shelves for Christmas, you know.
Okay. So One Groove, I think I have like 4 or 5 songs to play from the CD right now. But tell us about One Groove. What was your vision for it?
You know, it's been an evolution, owing largely to the fact that so many of my social media friends are all over the world. And, of course, new jazz and contemporary jazz and jazz in general is all over the world. You know, arguably, I think one of the biggest festivals is in Jakarta, Indonesia. You know, so contemporary jazz is hardly merely an American thing anymore. It's global, certainly. And we're all about the groove, of course. And so my thinking with it is precisely that, one world, one groove. We're all not necessarily dancing to different drummers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
As we were in the 60s and 70s. So that's my thinking. You know, as well as the fact that about 3 years ago, I became friends with a gentleman by the name of Loris Maroney, who is in Milan, Italy. He has a company, an organization, a studio called JinglesFactory.com. They record and make jingles for smooth jazz stations all over the world with his son, Michel, who's a fantastic producer and composer and keyboardist. They've been doing this for over 30 years, and that's really initially what got me plugged into the Italian faction.
Okay.
He was how I met Rocco, was through him. And so based on the fact that you know, I've got a number of Italians on this CD, and am working on having some folks from elsewhere in the world be on it as well when all is said and done, that's the impetus. One groove being the fact that it's a one-world CD, if you will, along with the fact that I will say, you know, I've been writing tunes with lots of, more complicated changes and key changes and, you know, solely instrumental lines, you know, lines played together with, you know, multiple instrumentalists in the group, only to really sit back and think, and I think you and I had this conversation when we saw each other at Spagatini for Jonathan Fritzen's CD release back in, I think that was April, that James Brown was the master of groove, the godfather of soul, of course. You know, I found myself watching a video of his that was on YouTube that was filmed from behind him out into the audience, and you could see all the ladies up front just having the time of their lives, dancing like there's no tomorrow. And I'm listening to the music, and I'm thinking, this is all groove. It's, you know, there weren't that many changes. It was just feel. And I just thought it was an epiphany for me. I thought, well, that's what everybody wants, so I'm not going to complicate this. I'm going to boil this down to the essence of fun for the audience, you know, and not so much worry about playing for the musicians and for myself, too, just because I like music theory and I like to change keys and just do all that sort of thing as a musician. But, you know, I'm much more interested in getting it out there. You know, it's not communication unless somebody else can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I hate to use the word understand it, but like it, you know, and receive it well. And so that's the vision, I guess, if you will. One groove is global communication. You know, I mean, that sounds a little grandiose, but that's what I'm thinking anyway.
So now your parents were teachers, so to speak. They both played instruments. When did you start playing the guitar?
Yeah, well, my mother was the teacher mainly. My father was an engineer. She was really more the artist, and he's more the organize everything, engineer by the numbers kind of guy. So I don't know how that works together. I think I'm basically confused as a result of that, but that's another kind of you know, my mother got started playing when she was really young, so 3. She started playing piano when she was 3, and then, you know, majored in piano and voice in college, on and on. So, of course, I was always around instruments. She was a classical pianist, but she was also a folk guitarist. So there was a guitar around. And then when I was really little, you know, three or four, something like that, they got me a toy guitar that I began to explore. And there were some, you know, Dad sent me some photos of me looking at this thing with a really perplexed expression on my face. So I guess I was trying to figure it. I started trying to figure it out, I guess, when I was about four, you know. I wouldn't say that I really got serious about playing it until I was about eight or nine. You know, took some lessons, Mel Bay method, like everybody else was doing, book one, the navy blue one, from a guy in Stanton, Virginia, you know, which started the seriousness of it, you know, started me reading and that kind of thing. And then, you know, began to put bands together, just simple bands. And, you know, I would say I probably had my first, what you might call serious band at age 11 or so, where, you know, my neighbors all played various instruments. We were kind of Christmas dependent because we had to wait for Christmas to get new instruments.
Update
our instruments, you know. But that's when it began to happen. And then we started playing private parties and talent shows and that sort of thing. We actually got paid sometimes, you know, to get, you know, like $20 for the band to split. You know, to go play a barbecue. You know, I have memories of, we had these uniforms in this one band. I think that band was called either the Resistors or the Lemon Raindrops. And, yeah. You know, we were playing songs like Venus and, you know, of course, Purple Haze and Creedence Clearwater Revival and that kind of thing. And, you know, we had these sailor, I don't know even what you'd call them, you know, Jimi Hendrix Goes Sailor outfits with these white slacks and ruffled shirts and floppy hats, and that was what was popular back in that day. Different colored shirts, though, of course. So we did gigs. You know, this is, yeah, we were tweens, I guess, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And we got going with it.
Okay. Well, I want to go ahead and start playing, get into some of the music here. And so I'm going to start with Come and Get It. Tell me about this.
Sure. Yeah, Come and Get It is really what got the ball rolling here in the recent past for me. You know, I'd taken a bit of a hiatus from music, really. I had been playing an instrument called Chapman Stick. It's a 12-string, 10-string, 12-string instrument that you tap and hold two hands independently. Put that down, just didn't seem to be really taking me where I wanted to go, and then got back into it really through Facebook, made friends with Jesse J, who then introduced me to Paul Brown, and Come and Get It is his tune and his production. And he got that ball rolling by, you know, by virtue of the fact that Jesse is also his artist.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was doing at the time wasn't necessarily contemporary jazz, smooth jazz. It's kind of more folky, new agey, you know, with kind of rock leanings, but there were definitely some jazz components. But as a matter of bringing me to market, you know, and being the ace producer that he is with all the experience that he has, you know, his wisdom was certainly, we'll just come up here and do one of mine, which is what we did. And, you know, Philippe Sace is the keyboard player on it. Roberto Valli is the bass player on it. Paul handled all the percussion by virtue of the fact that he started as a drummer, so he knows that turf oh so well. He's also playing rhythm guitar on it. And I'm doing all the lead work, all the melody work, and the soloing, as it were, and that's where it came from.
Okay, well, this is Come and Get It from Jazz Miller's upcoming CD, One Groove. All right, that was Come and Get It from Jazz Tiller's upcoming CD, One Groove. And Jazz, are you on Twitter?
Oh, yes, I am. As simply, you know, twitter.com/Jazz Miller, just like that, JASMILLER.
Okay, you can follow him there on Twitter and on Facebook as well. And, you know, check out the now, is there – no, probably we could not have done a CD, so that would be a crazy question. So let me just go ahead and introduce you to Mike. He is my co-host, Mike, meet Jazz Miller.
Hey, Mr. Miller, how are you today?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm doing – well, right now I'm hot right now. It's almost, what, 100 degrees out here in the D.C. area, but I'm trying to wing it and cool off a little bit. But
I see. You're a trooper. Now, are you Mike Reynolds?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're Facebook friends and have been for a couple of years, I do believe. Great to talk to you on the phone finally. You're on the show.
Yes, it's good to talk to you, yes.
Indeed. As a matter of fact, I will say, yes, I know that humidity in the D.C. area. I'm from Stanton, Virginia, down in the Shenandoah Valley. It's about 2 hours south of you, so I'm well acquainted. I'm feeling you.
And, Mike, I have you beat with the heat. We're expecting 106 today.
Oh, my goodness. It's too much.
Yes, it is hot. So, Jazz, tell me about this Great for Students solo acoustic guitar CD. What is that about?
Oh, okay. Now, are you speaking of Relax?
Yes.
Sure. You know, it's had a couple of titles. I will say when I first did it, it was called Kitara, which means guitar in Greek. You know, and the whole point of it really was it was a collection of solo acoustic guitar tunes that I did for my students because they needed something to play for their investors, which would be, of course, mom, dad, and grandma and grandpa. At the holidays, you know, during the holidays. So I just put together about 20 selections of tunes that they could play by themselves without a band, without having to be reliant on anyone else. Then those tunes lent themselves to me playing them at weddings. So sort of the second iteration of the CD included the wedding march and included Paul Stuckey's The Wedding Song, Paul Stuckey from Peter, Paul and Mary, and some other wedding favorites, Box, Jesu Joy of Mass Desiring, those kinds of things. So there are about four classical pieces on there. There are a few, it's 18 covers and then two originals. The covers consist of about four classical pieces. Four Jimmy Page pieces from Led Zeppelin, just because I was very influenced by him. And he loved to retune the guitar to get different sounds. So there are a number of different tunings represented on there as well. So that's kind of what makes it such an educational guitar piece, because you've got to learn about, you know, six or seven different tunings to play all the tunes that are on there. Then fast forward a bit, and the third iteration of the CD became Relax. For the general public, you know, I thought, for one thing, basically the guitar lesson market was too small. So I wanted to expand and make it more accessible for more people. So I took it even a little beyond the wedding market into the relax market, which is, you know, the intent was basically dinner music, you know, and romantic music and that kind of thing. So that's what it is. It's really, you know, the concept for it, too, was there are also a number of tunes that were done originally with several guitar tracks, which I think kind of confused the issue. So my vision for that particular CD was to play it expressly solo, one nylon string guitar, so it's real clear and you can hear what's being played, especially if you're studying with me. You need to have a model to play to.
Are you still teaching?
I am. You know, I will say, interestingly, though, where I live in San Diego now is a little town called Linda Vista that's part of the Claremont Mesa area and Kearny Mesa for San Diegans and Los Angeles people who would know where that is, which is very, very Asian here. So I'm surrounded by, you know, Korean and Japanese and Chinese and Vietnamese. Lots of Vietnamese culture. In fact, my girlfriend is Vietnamese, and so almost all of my students are Vietnamese. It's something that their parents didn't have access to when they were in Vietnam. They, you know, it was communist, and you know, they just weren't allowed to participate in that kind of you know, the fine things in life. So now that they're here, they want that for their children. So it's a unique market. I love my Vietnamese students. They're as sweet as they can possibly be, and starved to learn. And it's a whole new, you know, cultural mind opening for me. You know, which also is kind of bringing back the one groove concept, you know, that one world, one groove thinking. I am definitely immersed in all things Vietnam right now. Here's the funny thing. Most of my students now are beginning keyboard students. You know, I've got probably as many guitar students as I do keyboard, but actually, if I were to add it all up, I think I probably have maybe 60% beginning keyboard students, which I love. It's in 2012, keyboards is MIDI. You know, it's you interface your electronic keyboard with your computer and your recording device that's on your computer via MIDI, Musical Instrument Digital Interface. So from keyboards, you can play any instrument, of course. And these kids just love it, I will say. And nowadays, you know, I just send them to Costco to get a little Casio WK210 keyboard for $169 that has 500 sounds on it. You know, to include strings and Fender Rhodes and Hammond B3 and grand piano, of course, and trumpets and saxophones and clarinets and drum kits and a recording device on this same little keyboard. So you can record multi-track for $169.
So now, if are you taking new students at the moment?
Am I accepting new students? Sure.
Yes. Okay. So how would someone get in touch with you if they wanted to take a lesson?
Oh, sure. And I do them on Skype all over the world. You bet. Just okay. Email me at jas@jasmiller.com. jas@jasmiller.com. And we'll certainly make that happen. You can Skype me, too, at jasmiller1 on Skype is my Skype ID. And we can certainly get that hooked up.
Okay, good, good. All
now,
right.
In addition to guitar, do you play any other instruments yourself?
I do. You know, my first instruments were simultaneously piano. You know, mom was a piano teacher, so that was obligatory. And guitar, because she had one laying around. But then in public school, I started playing trumpet in, I think it was fifth grade. Actually, tonette prior to that, which is a little thing that sort of looks like a recorder, but I don't even know that I would call that a real instrument. It was just, you know, and that was fourth grade. And then fifth grade came trumpet. And then later on in high school, I migrated to trombone for a brief moment and then to baritone horn, which is stands the middle ground somewhere between trumpet and tuba because that's what they needed. Additionally, I will say, my folks moved from Virginia to Norman, Oklahoma, different school system. So they moved me to baritone, and so I played in the marching band and all that kind of thing. And then, you know, went to the University of Oklahoma and played in the Pride of Oklahoma marching band as well, still playing baritone. I had a great time doing that, though, went to all the games. You know, that was great. And then, of course, I played drums and bass, and it's just sort of during high school, when we moved to Oklahoma, you know, I was sort of uprooted from Virginia from my band there and came to Oklahoma and was without a band for probably 6 months or so till I got to know everybody and then put one together. We called ourselves Canyon, and you can find us at canyonrockmusic.com if you so desire. But, you know, we played all the school dances and, you know, had an ad in the yearbook and all that kind of thing. And so it was big fun. And as a result with that, you know, with putting a new band together, you know, I'd end up doing a lot of the arranging and dissemination of parts, if you will. So, you know, as a function of, you know, getting the band together, you know, I ended up playing drums. And I'll rewind. When I was in Virginia, too, I always loved drums. So I did take snare drum one summer and studied rudiments, you know, just, you know, practiced on a pad and went to a class at the high school and mm-hmm. learn snare drum rudiments. So I guess there's a little formality in my drums anyway. Bass is mm-hmm. tuned the same as guitar, so if you play guitar, you're going to be able to play bass. Of course, you need to put the pick down and use your fingers and then also slap if you're going to, you know, actually sound like a bass player and not like a, you know, guitar player trying to play bass. And then later on at 18, no, let me think, when was that? I was actually, I think it was about 22 or so. I had known about the Chapman Stick touch board. You can find the stick online at stick.com, S-T-I-C-K.com. It was a 10-string instrument. Now there's a 12-stringed version of this instrument that you strap on and wrap your arms around and tap two sets of strings independently like a pianist would, but your fingers are still in direct contact with the string, so you can bend and slide and, you know, do all of the slurring embellishment that a string player does, but two hands independently. So effectively, you're playing bass and guitar and or tapping a stringed piano, if you will, simultaneously. So it's an amazing instrument. The inventor, Emmett Chapman, is out here in Los Angeles. I think he's sort of semi-retired now. He's pushing 70, give or take. But probably the best-known stick player is Tony Levin, who played stick with Peter Gabriel after he left Genesis. So stick has kind of had a home in progressive rock. And I used to play progressive rock, so it was sort of a natural extension. I picked that up. I think the first ad was in Guitar Player magazine in 1974. The first prototype happened in 1969. I got my first one in 1979, then I got another one in 1980, et cetera. Played that for about 20 years, really. But I will say, as much of an engineering feat as that instrument is, and there's a synth pickup available for the Melody Strings now, too, so you can play synthesizer from the Melody Strings. So, you know, it's really, really versatile. But with the advent of multi-track recording, it's just not important to be able to play bass and guitar at the same time. You don't need to do that. You know, and I've got so much time invested in guitar too. I'm more of a soloist on guitar, so I've just come back to the guitar, which, you know, feels I'm really, really at home at it. You know, I've been playing it all my life, so.
Yeah.
So I'll come back to guitar. But
now, you mentioned, earlier you mentioned Rocco, and when we met at Spoggs, I mentioned to you that we had him scheduled to come onto the show, but mm-hmm. that his label asked him to wait because the CD wasn't really ready enough to play music, because, you know, I like to have at least four songs to play, and I'd asked
sure.
him to send me the music, and he said, well, the label asked him to kind of wait on that until, I guess, the CD was released. So I'm still waiting, you know, hopefully to get him back on the show, to get him on the show. So I'm still
sure.
working on that. But are you guys working together? Is he on this CD, or you plan on working together in the future?
He is on this CD. The tune is, actually, it started as Chill Island, I will say.
Uh-huh.
It was just kind of a concept. I just had a vibe in my head that just felt chilly like that, just felt like a sea breeze. So I just, you know, my gut instinct was to just call it Chill Island. And then since then I discovered that there's already a franchise called ChillIsland.com, and they do, I think they're kind of doing rock shows, really. But it's an outdoor festival. So I adapted the name, and since Rocco was on it too, I just changed it to an Italian name, so it's now Isola di Ciliegina. And there's a bit of explanation perhaps required for that. First, I took it to Isola di Cil. Then another Italian friend, who's a friend of Rocco's, and is also on Rocco's CD, a gentleman by the name of Gianni Vansuni, .com. That's GIANNIVANCINI.com. Our great buddy was just here the day after the 4th of July on the 5th, recording another track for me that I sent you as well. I just got it mixed last night. But that's not the one with Rocco on it. But he was the cherry on top of that tune. And so as we were talking about that, I said that to him. I said, oh, you are the cherry on top. And then he was there with his wife, and they discussed it and translated that for me and said, oh, that's Chiyajina, which means the cherry on top of the cake. The cherry on the cake is the Italian expression for the cherry on top. So Chiyajina, I just thought that sounded so great, and it made me think of Isola de Chiro, which was this other tune that Rocco's on. So I thought, well, you know, I'm going to rename that. So I did. So it's now Isola de Chiyajina.
All right, and I have that, and I'm going to play it now.
Wonderful.
Okay, pronounce that again.
Isola de Chiyajina.
All right. Well, that is from the upcoming CD One Groove. I like that. I like the name. I like the sound of that.
Oh, thank you. Well, I thought Rocco just did such a great job on it. I mean, he just blew it up. You know, I knew Rocco could play, but I didn't know he could just wail like that. And man, oh man, I just loved what he did. We had a great time doing that. I should say also that is Ricky Lawson playing drums on that. you know, Michael Jackson's drummer and Whitney Houston, and the guy who has played with everybody. He's Paul Brown's drummer. That's how I know about him.
Mm-hmm.
And man, he also just gave it groove like nobody's business. You know, every time you add somebody to the track, it just changes its character. And Ricky, what I would say Ricky did with that tune was he gave that, Rocco breathed life into it. Ricky gave it soul. That's what I think. And now I will say also, Derek Murdoch, don't know if you know that name, but Derek is, Derek's the bass player that was playing on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno when Kevin Eubanks was there. During the last 5 years of Kevin's tenure.
Right.
And then Derek left when Kevin left. But he's the bass player on that. So as a result of, well, it started with Rocco. Rocco breathed life into it, which, of course, made it sound, just gave it that sax thing that interested Ricky. So Ricky gave it its soul. And I would dare say Derek gave it its groove.
Okay.
Definitely a groove master. So I was really excited to do that one just because it's got so many great players on it. So,
okay.
Thank you for playing that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So now I want to play another song that I was listening to just before you came on, and that is, Feel Like Making Love. Sorry. This has a really nice, mellow vibe to it. Tell me about this song.
Sure, and thank you for asking. I had started recording it. It just kind of popped into my head that I thought it would be, a nice tune to record. You know, late one night I was in that mood and did that. Started it at the normal Roberta Flack tempo and then sort of had an epiphany that I should shift it. So I just dropped the tempo way, way down slow. I think it's 82 beats per minute, and gave it a really slow swing feel, which is uncharacteristic of it, of how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the impetus for that was, of course, hearing so many guys do, very different versions of well-known tunes. It just seemed kind of redundant to me to cover it again the same way, with slightly different instruments and just different people playing the same instruments. What's the point? And I think it's been recorded something like 450 times. So a lot of folks have done that. So I just had this flash to take the tempo way down like that. And so it's ended up as it is. It's mostly me, but the trumpet player, the flugelhorn player, is Wayne Cobham, who just did a brilliant job, I think. I mean, he also has just got such a soul. And this is Billy Cobham's brother, who's in New York. And we met through, I'm trying to recount how that was. I met his wife, Michelle, C-H-E-L-E, on Facebook, who then introduced me to him. And the rest is history. We've been communicating over probably 2 or 3 year period and finally got it together to do some recording together. So he's playing the melody, and then we're trading licks, as it were. And I'm trying to think of who else is on that. I think that particular tune is pretty much all me.
All you.
Yeah, with the exception of Wayne.
Uh-huh.
I'm playing keyboards and Gary Stanionis is the drummer.
Okay.
So I had MIDI drums on there for the longest time, and then finally, Gary and I had been talking about doing something forever. Gary's most known in Southern California and really all over the world as a percussion player, plays with everybody. He played on Gary Honor's new CD, who you just had on your show, I do believe.
Yes.
Not long, yeah. And so Gary Stanionis is everywhere. So I got him for this tune. So he laid a percussion track and a drum track. So, yes, the drums on this is Gary. So it's Gary and Wayne Cobham and myself, and that's who we're listening to.
All right. This is Feel Like Making Love. All right, that was Jazz Miller's version of Feel Like Making Love from his upcoming CD, One Groove. I like that mellow, laid-back sound of that.
Thank you so much, Terry. You know, I just get tickled every time I hear Gary Stanionis play drum kit on that. He's so well-known as a percussionist anymore, I don't think people get to hear him play drum kit enough. And he did a great job, didn't he?
Very good job, yeah.
Yes,
Gary's
yes.
a very good percussionist as well. Like he's very good. I know some guys that play with him out there. Cause he plays with Elements, right?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does, Mike. Yeah, and then some. I know he just did a track with Paul Brown, as a matter of fact. He's playing tonight as Fagottini with Brad Ramber, you know, who has, you know, whose single is Warm from his Can't Put It Down CD.
Yeah.
And Gianni Vancini, who just recorded with me, in fact, is friends with Brad because they both play Cannonball Saxes. You know, so they endorse the same company, so they're, you know, pals as a result of that. So Gianni is here to play with Brad tonight, and Brad was kind enough to loan him to me because they've got rehearsals, you know. And matter of fact, Ricky Lawson is playing drums with him, and Gary will be playing percussion tonight up at Spaghettini. So the gang's all here, and Gary is everywhere, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Now, Jazz, I wanted to ask you, with your music, how are you going to be trying to get that out to the masses with the use of social media? I mean, how have you implemented, you know, using Facebook and Twitter into your, you know, promoting and advertising?
Well, certainly that has been what I've done heretofore pretty much exclusively, and it's been a tremendous vehicle to get the word out. Though now I'm moving into the domain of more traditional marketing practices, you know, what I've been doing so far, of course, is it's available on iTunes and Amazon.com and CD Baby and, you know, Napster and Zulu and all the typical sources for digital downloads. Most people seem to prefer Amazon and iTunes. One Groove is not available there yet. It will be later this summer once it's completed. There are two tracks up there. Come and Get It is available now, and Reiki is available up there now that I think I sent you all as well. And then soon to come the others. So that's what we're doing right now. It's exclusively digital. But, of course, we're going to do some physical CDs and address more traditional radio and outlets and all of that stuff as soon as the CD's done. Currently, though, it's digital.
Okay.
99 cents a track. How can you beat that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's good. And you're going to Spock's tonight? You're hanging out tonight at Spock's, which is where we met?
Absolutely, I have to. You know, I mean, with Johnny being here from Italy, I mean, you know, he's actually touring with an Italian singer by the name of Umberto Tozzi, T-O-Z-Z-I, and has been his sax player for some time. And Umberto is also guesting on Johnny's CD called Souls United, which is really good, I will say, produced by Candy Dolfer's keyboard player, who you just had on your show last week, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, so, you know, we're certainly all part of the same. It's one groove, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I love Spots. I absolutely love that place. You know, I've been there a couple of times already. I went to see Jonathan was the first time I'd been to Spock's, and then back to see Vincent Ngala, who will be on tomorrow. We're talking to him tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Hello, I love Vin. He is such a great guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Indeed. Yeah, I missed his show at Spock's, sadly, but I saw him the week prior at the Newport Beach Jazz Festival, and we got to have a great conversation and hang out for, you know, a good while. I got to meet his folks and had a long conversation with his mom, and what a great guy, what a great family, and his CDs just blow me away. I mean, for such a young guy, he just sounds like such a mature player. I mean, he is such a mature player.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. So it was nice meeting you there. I'm glad we got the chance to meet and talk.
Likewise, and, I wish you were going to be there tonight. We'd get something to eat. It's just great food, you know.
Yeah. All right, well... I'm going to host the show with the song Reiki. Is it Reiki?
Reiki.
I'm going to close the show with that.
Japanese massage is, you know, what it is. It's
okay.
A lifestyle. It's a natural, holistic lifestyle, and that's where that came from. And I think this one is pretty much, you know, I'm racking my brain here trying to think if I'm leaving anybody out. And I think this one is, in fact, just all me. And it's the only one that's like that. I'm trying not to do that, but this one just ended up being that. So that's what it is.
Okay. All right. Reiki. All right. So now where are you playing in the area?
Well, you know, so far I've been kind of a studio hermit.
Okay.
But it's very possible, it's been sort of rumored, and I don't know that it's necessarily finalized, but conceivably September 8th, Evelyn Irving is doing her show here, and this is at, I think it's at Humphreys by the Bay in the backstage area. I think that's where the show's going to be, or maybe it's on the main stage. I'm not sure about that. But this is with Norman Brown and Gerald Albright are the headliners of the show. And then there's also Aisha Webb, and Alon Trotman is also playing on Aisha's stage. Did I say Alicia? Aisha? I know better.
Yeah,
Aisha.
Aisha, thank you. And there's somebody else that's part of the show, too, and I'm not thinking of who that is at the moment. But it's been sort of suggested that I might do something. So we'll see. That's not finalized yet. I'm still just so focused on doing the CD. That's my entire focus.
Right.
So I'm not even, you know, and I'm teaching, too, you know, so I'm not even trying to play out until after that's done. It just makes no sense to me to go do that unless you got some product, unless people can take it home, you know.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak with you. I am going to close the show with Reiki, and hopefully I will see you again sometime soon at Spog's.
I will look forward to that. It's been a pleasure, Terry. And, Mike, thank you so much for having me on. And, indeed, we'll have to have dinner.
All right. I look forward to that. Definitely.
Excellent.
Look forward
Likewise.
To that. All right. Our thanks again to Jazz Miller. The upcoming CD is called One Groove. You can follow Jazz on Twitter at Jazz Miller, and that's J-A-S. His website is jazzmiller.com, and you can also find him on Facebook. Let me thank those in the chat room, Bonnie Fan Carol, Colleen, Joe from Germany, Lori, Southern Cal, Gal, BJ, and the guests. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. Mike, you have any last words?
No, just, tune in tomorrow for Vincent, and, you know, stay cool, because his hat,
yeah.
I know all over the country is his hat, so everybody try to stay cool.
Yes, indeed. Yes, we will be talking to Vincent Ngala tomorrow about his new CD, Can't Stop Now. That's at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, so tune in for that. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you again next time. This is Reiki from Jazz Miller's One Groove CD. Everyone have a good day.
thank you for listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. Please visit our websites, TalkingSmoothJazz.com and Mastermind-Entertainment.com. Join our Facebook fan and group pages and follow us on Twitter at Jazz_Queen and The Daily Grind. That's THA Daily Grind.